Does anybody else have anything on their heart this morning? I might mention, of course, I think we all know Brother Jeff Elliott will be bringing the message today, and let's be prayerful for him while he comes and preaches for us. And might encourage us maybe the members of the church just after service to meet for just a few minutes just to make sure, talk with our treasurer and just our deacons, make sure there's nothing. We haven't met for 2 months, so if there's anything that needs to be done or planned for or thought about, we can just kind of discuss it momentarily after service might be a good idea. So, otherwise, Brother Jeff, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, brother. Things are always changing in our lives, and I think the last couple months have brought that to the forefront of all of our attentions about change. But I know one thing, the God that saved my soul, he hadn't changed.
Amen.
It's just been a forethought. I did a lesson maybe last Wednesday, I don't know, I was on a Zoom meeting with the church in Anchorage, and my thought process was, you know, ask the right questions. And even during times like this, we need to ask the right questions. God hasn't changed. Our job hasn't changed. Our responsibility, if nothing else, has gotten bigger as the children of God. People are thinking about mortality. There are some open doors. It just surprised me. The Zoom meetings that some of the companies have been doing, and ours is no different. We have one every day at 3 o'clock during the week most of the time. And I was got on those and got the opportunity to always close it out in prayer. We serve a great God. And I didn't take that lightly. I'm telling you, that was an opportunity to speak to several, I don't know their souls. I don't know where they stand with the Lord. Some of them say they know God, but I know God. You can't tell me any different. I know who the Lord is. Before I get into my message this morning, I just want to recognize the day and the mothers and those that might be watching online as well, and say Happy Mother's Day. And I'm very thankful for all of you that have taken that godly responsibility, because that's what that is. Being a mother, there's a godly responsibility to being a good mom. Raising your children the way that they should go and come up. I give, if there's any good in my sons at all, I give the credit to their mother. She played a great role in their lives and still is and still will until the day that she leaves this world. But I want to say thank you to you women and future mothers as well. I'm glad there's a day to recognize you, honestly, whether it's to sell flowers or cards or whatever the case may be. I'm glad that mothers are recognized, because they deserve to be recognized. Turn with me, if you want to, in the book of Ecclesiastes. And it'll be familiar to most of you probably in the second chapter. I think I'll take a reading lesson for there. In the first 8 verses of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to talk about the anchor holds today. I guess if I had a title to my message, that's what it would be. That just evokes a lot for me when I think about it. And so I get a little bit of emotion going, and been sidelined for quite a bit. Haven't had a Facebook preaching or whatever other than the other day, and Judy says, are you going to be able to contain yourself? I go, I don't know. See, she's a good wife. She told me just to say what the Lord put on my heart. And that's good advice. So hopefully you're all turned over to Ecclesiastes in the 3rd chapter. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heavens. I know we've read this a lot and we've heard it a lot, but I want this to sink in to you this morning, okay? Listen to what thus saith the Word of God. Let it settle in your heart. Don't just let it come in one ear and out the other, but listen as we read, please. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to loose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. So the preacher was talking about a season for everything, a time for everything. As I said in opening up, things have changed. There's no doubt for every single one of you in this room today with all that's been going on in our lives. But the message has not changed. Our purpose has not changed. God has definitely not changed. He's there. He's watching over us. He's helping us every step of the way. Brad brought that out very clearly when a lot of the things that when he said we worry about gaining too much weight. Hey, you hit me right on the head, buddy. I'm going to go home and finish that pie this afternoon. But God is good, and He always has been, and always will be. And the message, I guess, I want to do is stir up your mind and know that things change in people's lives all the time. I think of Apostle Paul. Before he was Apostle Paul, he was an educated individual. Very educated. Spoke many languages. He was part of the Pharisaical way in that day, in that age. He had paperwork that he would go and persecute the children of God, and he was good at it. I'm sure he relied upon his wit, his knowledge, his understanding, his upbringing, the people that surrounded him. He depended on all those things. That's what he based his life on. Then all of a sudden on the road to Damascus, he runs smack dab into God. And his life changed, didn't it? According to what we see and who he became and what happened to him. His days of persecuting the church of the true and living God suddenly came to an end. His life changed. He got saved by the grace of God, and a new life began, a new purpose and a new goals. And I believe with all my heart in the studying of his writings and different things, he didn't so much depend on his education. He didn't so much depend on his knowledge. He certainly didn't depend on his friends and co-workers of that day and age, because they all changed. And the new ones didn't even want to have anything to do with him at first. But he held on to the thing that didn't change. That God that he met on the road to Damascus. That God that asked him about, you know who I am and what he, and he asked him what he needed to do. And he said, go in and, you know, we all know the story about how his life changed, how he was blind and the great light that shone around about him. And it was amazing things. It was a miracle, outward things that they saw in that day, in that age. But I want to talk about whom he had his faith in, whom he put his life and his trust in. And that was Jesus Christ, none other. And Paul went through a lot of things, didn't they? Now all of a sudden he's an enemy to the very people that he grew up with, the very people that he educated with. Now he's an enemy to these people. Times he was imprisoned, and times he was beaten, and times he never faced those things in his life before that day on the road to Damascus. But I want you to know his anchor held. When he faced imprisonments, when he faced beatings, when he faced the things, his friends that he once had who hated him now for whom he was, my friend, he's now defending. He's now one of those who is lifting up the Son of God. His anchor held, didn't it? Turn with me, if you will, in the Hebrews, the sixth chapter. Read a few verses about the certainty of God's promise. Because I think we need to be reminded, just getting back together and being able to come into this a capacity, as limited that it might be, and our social distancing and what have you, God's not changed. Our lives have changed, certainly. The things we go and things we do and our livelihoods and so on, I think it's a little overblown in my own opinion, but that's here nor there. It is what it is. But my God hasn't changed. Sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews reads this way: For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, Surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and all their disputes and oaths in final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, whereby Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that's pretty much where I got my thought process today. We have this in the 19th verse. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. The anchor holds. I remember many times when we were in Alaska and we loved to fish. And Judy and I, we had a favorite little lake that we'd go to. It's pretty private. You wouldn't even, unless you had a four-wheel drive truck, you couldn't get there. We'd throw the old boat in the back of the truck and head down that way and go to this little lake. Cast out into the lake and go to our spot where I knew that I'd catch a trout. And this particular day that I'm thinking of, that has relevance to my story today, the wind was really up and whipping and blowing, and it was hard getting out to the spot that we were at. And I threw the little anchor that I had over, but you know what? It was a wrong anchor. It didn't hold. The boat would just drift and drag the anchor on the bottom, and it just wasn't big enough. It wasn't the right anchor. And I want to know, for those that may be watching from home that are here, is your anchor sure? Do you know that your anchor is sure? Will it take you through these COVID times? Will it take you through the other distracting things in our lives, the ups and the downs, my friend? I don't know, but God has walked with me from the day that He saved my soul over 40 some odd years ago, my friends. My life changed, and I have an anchor that holds, and it will hold. That's the promise of God. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll see you through it all. And I do want you to remiss a little bit. Think about the things that your God, your Savior, your anchor has brought you through. Whether you be a mother today, a father, an individual. I remember when my dad was killed in a construction accident, and I was there. We were waiting on the cofferdam to be dug out so we could go down there and form our forms and pour our pier and what have you. And so really the only one that was really working a lot was the operator and paying attention to what he was doing. And this freak accident where my dad went over and looked and I don't know how it happened. No one else knows how it happened. It just happened. And he got run over by that track hoe. And he didn't have a testimony. And that evokes a, some emotions in me today, as it always has. All I could think of, I fell down in the mud right beside him, and the machine was on him. He was gone. He was instantly gone. There was nothing that I could do for him. And all I thought about was the young man that occurred to him that this wouldn't ruin his life, that he might be saved somewhere. That's what I thought about. Those men around me, that this might touch their life in a way that they would have the same anchor that held me. Because my friend, through that tragedy so many years ago, and I don't even know how long it's been now, but I want you to know my anchor is held. We lose people all the time. Your church has just went through that. Jeff's family just went through that not too long ago. That's part of life, the death. We're on that journey, right? But those people had a testimony of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Their foundation was sure. It was steadfast. When the storms came, the anchor held. When the winds blew, the anchor held. When the troubles and trials of life come, they have held for you, have they not? And if you've melted under the weight and the burden of, I'm not saying that there is no weights and there's no burdens and there's no thought process there, because I had them. I remember I was had to be stoic for my family. My brother was a wreck. My sister was a wreck. And my mom, of course, is a wreck. And so that left me to try to be stoic and try to lead the family and to be the quiet presence. But you ask my wife what happened about 8 months after that. As we were laying in bed one night, the floodgates opened and my soul opened up, and I cried all night long for the loss of my father. I grieved, but my anchor held. My anchor held. I still had purpose. Couldn't change the outcome of whatever my father, I can only hope that he somewhere met the Lord. Won't know that. But it's not mine to fret about. I could have let that just say, I'm done. Why did God let my dad leave this world without a testimony? Why don't I know that he's in heaven? Why don't I know that? I'm not going to sugarcoat it for anybody. I don't know that. But there's nothing I can do. I do know that my anchor, it will take me, my friend, one day when my life is over, I'm going to be with God in glory. I know that for an assurity. That is not a guess. And you don't have to guess. You don't have to hope. Maybe that you'll be there. I'm talking about an anchor that's steadfast, that will hold you in the strongest of storms. I remember when my grandmother passed away, my mother's mom, she also left this world without a testimony of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Why is that so important? A testimony. I can take you to a time and a place in my life where the Lord changed me. Just like Apostle Paul, when we have record of his on the road to Damascus, where he met God and God changed his life and changed the direction of his life. I too have that same testimony. I wasn't on the road to Damascus. I didn't see a shining light. My eyes were not darkened. I didn't have to go into a city and find a child of God to get my direction. My friend, I got saved with the grace of God. And I know that. It was really hard when I lost my grandmother. I was very close to her. Many, many times I asked her, Grandma, you know God? Have you been saved? Are you going to heaven? Her answer was, I hope I am. A woman that read the Bible through and through and through all of her 90-some years of her life from the time that she could read, She had Bible studies constantly throughout the week. She loved the old gospel hymns. She went to a church, my friend, all the days of her life. But none of those things are an anchor. Do you hear me? None of those things are an anchor. They won't take you when this life is over into the portals of glory. Read your Bible all the days of your life. I'm not saying they're not important. Sing the gospel songs. Pray every single day of your life. None of those are the anchor that you need. Your faith and your trust need to be in the anchor, which is Jesus Christ. I remember... You know this individual, preacher. I don't know. I have a funny feeling he's probably dead now. Art. And he succumbed to the sins of the world as any of us can. And I remember going down to Mexico and he was in jail and seeing him there. My heart just sunk, you know. Through the years, you grow callous, and I don't want to grow callous. I want the love of God to be seen in my life, because friends, we have something that the world needs to see. We have an understanding that the world needs to understand. They need to know about this Jesus, the Son of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, the Lamb of God, as the Scripture called him. And I saw him there in jail, and he just gave me an address, and he said, "You'll understand. Just go to this address." He really wouldn't talk to me. Whether he was ashamed or embarrassed, I don't know, but we all have that one friend, you know, that the Lord brings into your life. He brought us into that man's life. I saw him get saved. I saw him get called to preach. There's no doubt in my mind. I still believe he's a preacher today. He was called to preach. And I really do know that he messed up and he fell, my friend, not from the saving grace of Jesus Christ, but he fell from where he was as an individual looking to do the things that God would have him to do. And still today, it pains me in my heart. He's not the only one. There's others. But my anchor holds. You could just walk away, couldn't you? I remember my brother, he lost his child. She was only, 3 months? My brother hated God. It was God's fault that his child was gone. But at the time, he had no anchor. He had nothing to go to give him the strength that he would need to be able to live through something like that. Later on, God saved his soul. He forgave. He asked God to forgive him for the thoughts that he had. He had an anchor that would take him through the rest of his life. Book of Mark, Jesus said in the 13th chapter, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when it is come." He was speaking about there is going to come a time. When changing things stop. When life as we know it will be over and we will be ushered into the portals of glory if we don't leave this life in a natural means whereby our God comes back and ends it all at once. I don't know if I'll be around in those days and those times. But I do believe this. It could happen tomorrow. I think all things are done except for the second coming of Jesus Christ, whether you believe that or not. That's my thought process. That's what I see in the Scriptures. Now, I know I've been wrong before about things, but I'm pretty sure Jesus is coming back. The Bible says He is. But until then, my anchor is going to hold. So I guess I just said all that just to remind you that you have something greater within you than what's in this world. No matter what gets thrown at us, my friends, our job does not change. What we do does not change. If anything, it's gotten more serious. I don't know, and I pray that you have been praying more than you have ever prayed in your life through these times, because there's a lot of people in darkness that have no anchor. You do, if you've been saved by the grace of God. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He was talking to Nicodemus, you remember? And I'm saying that for not for probably the most of you that are here, but maybe for those that may be watching us today. Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the Bible says that He came into this world to die for each and every one of us, to make a way that we could have a better life when this life was over in eternity. This is just a temporal thing. But it takes a lot of strength. Some people have more hurts, more ups and downs than I ever have in my whole entire life. We've all lost loved ones. We've all lost friends. We've all had people turn their backs on us, probably to some degree in some point. I remember the very first time as a young Christian and hadn't been married very long, and we had some friends on our son's baseball team, and I really felt like, man, I need to go tell them about Jesus Christ. Well, I'm just full steam ahead. Call me Peter. And the Lord stops. I'm going to run into the back of him, and I'm going to go tell these people about Jesus Christ. Well, they were of a different faith, and they pretty much cut it off right then and there when I began to talk about being saved, and never spoke to us again. Never gave us the time of day. And I don't want to get into religions or this and that, but they were firm in what they thought was right. So be it. You want to be that way? But my friend, I've got an anchor that's going to hold. Got me through that. I mean, You remember that enthusiasm in a young Christian? It's just exuberating. It's just good to see, and it's good to be around, you know. But, you know, they're going to get knocked down. You've all been knocked down, haven't you, a time or two in your life? But has it changed what our purpose is? Go ye therefore into the world teaching and preaching Jesus. Tell the world that the anchor's holding. Tell him you got something in your life that's going to get you through every crisis, everything that there is that's going to come your way. It will, if you let it. The Bible says if you go by your own devices, your own thought process, you know, it's like the blind leading the blind. You're both going to fall in the ditch. It's not going to work. But we've got something that works. My anchor's Jesus. You mothers, the best of my knowledge, my mother doesn't have a testimony of salvation. If she's watching, she needs to have one. And she knows that. I've told her that all my saved Christian walk with the Lord. But I'm so grateful for her, my friends. The things that I put her through growing up as a child. I wasn't a good child, my friend. I don't think I was a good child from the day I was a toddler and began to get into things and do things, causing her headaches. I remember one time I was, 4 or 5, and I climbed up on the bathroom tub, climbed up on the sink, got in the medicine cabinet, and ate a whole bottle of orange aspirin. I had to go have my stomach pumped. Come down, and I guess there was, I don't remember, I was too young, but orange just burned down. From that day and many days forward, I gave my mother heartache. I'm telling you, it's a lot easier when your sons and your daughters give you heartache, when you've got an anchor that will hold, when you can point them and give them that kind of encouragement. Believe it or not, your former pastor is not an angel. Say amen, Judy. I don't know what you think of him. I love him. But he had his days, along with his brothers. But I can tell you that their mother many times, in particular, the thing I'm thinking about was she used to do the dishes, look out her back window, and it was her altar. It was where she talked to the Lord. Many times we'd walk in the room and slink back out. And I'm sure she was bringing us all up by name, all her boys, including the one she married. Her anchors held. I could go into so much more, friends, but I want you to know, without Jesus Christ, without being saved by the grace of God, without that knowledge and understanding of what it means to be a child of God, my friend, and this anchor that I speak of today, you're missing what life is all about. And it doesn't begin until you get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It goes on to say that Ephesian letter talked about works, that it wasn't about works, but that there were works involved after we get saved. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it was teaching. That it's not by reading your Bible, it's not by attending a church, it's not by your baptism that we get this anchor. It's not because you can sing wonderful, beautiful songs to Zion and rejoice that way. It's not because you've done many wonderful and miraculous things to help the neighborhood and the poor and those less fortunate than ourselves. None of that, my friend, gets the anchor that I'm talking about. My friend, it is Jesus Christ, and Him alone is where our strength and our anchor lies. It is that, my friend, that assurity that will get you through COVID, that will get you through anything else in your life, a downturn in the economy, whatever that it may be, my friend, that anchor will hold. It will hold. And I don't have to say, trust me on that. If you have it, you know what I'm talking about. But you can trust the Word of God, which many don't. But it's the Word of God. The book of Luke, there's a verse in the 18th chapter, the first verse, as I come down to the end of my thought process here today. 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. I can't imagine having a dead religion. See, they think the world thinks that Jesus is dead. That they thought in his day and his age, didn't they not? We've got him now. We'll kill him. We'll crucify him. But my friend, it did nothing except the will of God, because it was God's will that his son give his life on Calvary's cross. It wasn't the world that got it done. It was God who gave his life for it to be done. They kind of twist their narrative a little bit. But to be able to truly pray and faint not, you've got to have an anchor. You can't do those things. Colossian letter goes on to say, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I'm thankful today that I can say my anchor holds. I'm thankful today to know that no matter what we go through, heaven will be my home. I want to try to sing this song, and I had brought two that I debated on. I'm just going to sing this one. It's an old one. Most of you might know it. It's called Come Morning. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree, and I'll carry my cross
through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. God's children too long have been burdened. They are longing for heaven's green shore, where heartaches are left far behind us and burdens are carried no more. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree, and I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, and I question, oh Father, how long? And then I take one more look at Mount Calvary. Then it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, we'll walk by the river, and we'll rest neath the evergreen tree, and we'll carry our cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. I'm glad my anchor holds. We've got burdens to carry, crosses to carry, and work to do. And it doesn't slow down because there's a virus. It doesn't slow down because, this or that. I know you don't know, maybe you don't know, but in 1969 we were in another pandemic. Probably more deadly as far as if you do the numbers than what's going on now. Killed over 100,000 people in the United States, 1 million worldwide. And so I want to reiterate that it's no place for fear. Safety, yes, but no place for fear. In 1969, Woodstock was going on. Not that that was a good thing, but I'm telling you, schools were going on. Businesses didn't close down. Things didn't close down. Things didn't stop. Yes, the elderly were probably in the same way in this epidemic are the most vulnerable. But my anchor, your anchor, will hold. And if God wants to have honor and glory from me, and I get whatever's out there, whatever the case, I want to give him honor and glory as I'm dying. I want to give him honor and glory as I'm living. I want to give him honor and glory certainly when I get home to be with him in glory. Because there, my friend, I'll get to do it without spot and without blemish. I'll be made perfect for the first time in my entire existence in eternity, not here. God bless you. Is there a word on anybody's heart? Anything you'd like to say today before we change up the order of service? A song, a testimony? You follow your hearts.